so that's where he is today. And we pray for them throughout the morning. In fact, let's take a moment and pray for him right now, because the fair just opened. The fair opens at 10, and I thought I was there Tuesday. Anyway, let's pray for them first, because they're getting started. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege we have to share your word, to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And I pray in Jesus' name for Wendy and for Chris that you will empower them with your Holy Spirit, that you'll prepare hearts of people that as they walk by the booth, they'll stop and they'll listen. And Lord, you'll give them the right words to say, so as they share the gospel, people will come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we had a good day over there Tuesday, and and we're just praying that happens again. It's been a good year at the fair. Some of you have never gone to the fair to witness. You have to be a little bit aggressive, but not overly aggressive. But it really is a great opportunity to get the Word of God out. Some people just, you know, they had a church there the day before we were there, and all they did was stand there and pass out tracts. Well, that's a good, but you can stand and pass out tracts outside of the fair. If you want to do that, you can stand right before you go into the gate, pass out tracts all day long if you'd like to. And but they charge us $300 a day to rent that booth. And every vendor in there, I don't know if the state's making any money, because the governor has, these people get in free this day, and these people are free that day, and these people are free that day. It's probably going to have to raise the taxes up again so they can pay for the fare. But anyway, we're not there just to pass out tracts. We're there to actually confront people and witness to people face to face. We had a good day Tuesday. We thank the Lord for it. It's been a good year. We've been talking a little bit about anger, and so let me this morning repeat a little bit before I left off. We ended in our class with what are the basic causes of anger, not getting our own way. That very well may be the first one, and the most common and popular one. Feeling rejected, that can cause deep anger. Fear of loss, feeling threatened, disappointments can make some people angry. Injustice toward others, and we can't do anything about it. That can cause anger, but that can be righteous indignation. That's what Jesus had. Injustice toward others, and we can't. Seventhly, feelings of inadequacy, and somehow that makes people feel angry, and unfair treatment toward ourselves or toward others. When you see, and I think I said last time, how young does anger start in some people? Well, when you see a 2 or 3-year-old pitching a fit, they're angry. So it starts young. It starts younger than a lot of people realize, but it can start young. Now, I did mention that there is such a thing as good anger. God was angry, and about 350 times that anger is mentioned in the Old Testament, that anger is God's anger. Now, it's mentioned more times than that. God got angry at this, but God's anger was never sinful anger, because God can't sin. Now, God told Israel, for instance, don't marry foreign women. God said, don't bow before false gods. God knew that if they did those things, it would be a weakness, and it would be a temptation to them to marry them, and it would make it easier, God knew this, for them to fall into idol worship. So God said, you know, avoid those things. God told them that he loved them above all other nations, and he wanted to keep the nation of Israel separate. And he was angry then with his kingdom that his plans for mankind and that the nation of Israel was being thwarted because of their disobedience. So God got angry. Now I want you to notice here in Mark 3, we'll read in just a moment, Jesus is in the synagogue, and in Mark 3, there comes this guy in, I'm in chapter 5, I guess I better turn the page. He's got a withered hand, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill it. But they held their peace because he kind of backed them into a corner. But when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And so Jesus healed his hand immediately. Now, what was Jesus angry over? He looked at those, and it said he got angry. He was angry at their misinterpretation and their legalization of the word of God. There are some good things to be angry at. For instance, I get angry about Catholic doctrine. I love Catholic people. I'm not angry at Catholic people. But I despise Catholic doctrine. And I mean, I hate it, John, amen. And because it sends an awful lot of people to hell. And people buy into it. Hi, Deb, good to see you. Buy into it. And it's an awful thing. The idea that Jesus couldn't heal on the Sabbath or walk a certain way, here's what they did. God gave the law, and they added a whole lot of stuff to it and wanted to live up to a man-made standard, which is what some people do, that God never intended. He had a right to be angry because he was looking out for the people themselves. That's why Jesus was angry. Let's look again at someplace else, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he didn't hesitate to tell them that they were children of hell. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And you can go on here, you can read verses 23 through 39, and you can read verse 33 as well in the same place. This is one angry speech. And this speech was given by Jesus. Their interpretation of the law is keeping people out of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus got angry over. That's why I despise false doctrine and false teachings. It keeps people out of the kingdom of God. So it's kind of like, it's the same thing that Jesus was mad at. And I might as well say this because it's appropriate time to say it. All faiths are not equal. What everybody believes is not on the same level playing field. Some people are absolutely right, and other people then must be what? Absolutely wrong. Can't have both. So why is Jesus angry? Their interpretation was so legalizing that they were keeping people out of the kingdom of God. I think it's okay to be angry at things like that. I remember my sister Jenny turned to Matthew 21, and I was telling her one day about a man who went to a priest, and the guy told the priest he'd been coming to church here several times. He said, I think I need to be saved. And the priest said, well, why do you think that? He says, well, he goes, I understand I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And the priest looked at him and he said, you don't need to be saved. Your sins were dealt with at baptism. Well, you know that's a lie. It's a lie right out of the pits of hell. So I was telling Jenny this story. You should have seen the countenance on her face change. I mean, you could just tell. She was angry. And my sister Jenny is meek and mild almost all the time. And has been even when she was a child. Couldn't believe she could live in our house and be that way, but she could. But because the rest of us weren't. But anyway, she was meek. But she wasn't meek and mild that day. She was upset. We don't call that just anger, because that's too simple of a word. We call that righteous indignation. That sounds a whole lot better. So that's why Jesus got angry. Now in Matthew 21, a temple was a great place, but the Pharisees were ruining it. You even had to have a special money, and they had money changers there. So it's kind of like if you go to a country and you get, I don't know the exchange rate now, but you get a dollar and you might get 70 cents back. Well, that's what the people were doing in the temple. They had money changers, and they were ruining the worship of what the temple was all about. They had it so only the wealthy could actually afford the sacrifices when anyone should have been able to buy, and they were making the money for themselves, and they weren't making the money for the temple. They're a bunch of thieves. So now here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now you try to get a word picture. Jesus goes in, he sees what's going on, he takes the tables and he just flips them up in the air. You think he said, now boys, let me turn this table over and I'm going to ask you nicely to leave. That's probably not what he did. He probably showed his anger and he went in there, but he was angry at the right thing. Now, God is angry. Anytime God's worship is destroyed, God is angry. God is angry at injustice. He's at things he sees that hurt people. Was Jesus angry? Yes. Was Jesus' anger justified? Yes. All anger fits two categories: justified anger and unjustified anger. And I probably said this last week. The problem with most of us here, we have way more experience with unjustified anger than we do with justified anger. Right? If I'm angry because you hurt my feelings, that's pretty much unjustifiable. You know, Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I just need to forgive you and move on. If I see somebody taking advantage of somebody else and hurting them, that makes me angry. That's justifiable anger. In bad anger, Cain killed his brother because he was jealous and envious. Saul tried to kill David on more than one occasion. He was jealous and he was envious. That was unrighteous anger. Jonah didn't get what he wanted. Then you come to the last chapter in Jonah chapter 4, and Jonah, the gourd was gone, and Jonah was upset. He didn't have his creature comforts anymore. And you know what he was mad at? God sent revival to the people of Nineveh. He hated them so much. Now that was unjustified anger. But Peter, I like Peter. In a lot of ways, I relate to Peter. I relate to Peter more than I do Paul. He was willing to kill and be killed for his devotion to Jesus. He didn't know what he was doing, obviously, but he was dedicated to the Lord. But most anger today is bad anger because it's about ourselves. Now, I mentioned some of this, I think. There's a couple of kinds of anger. There's three kinds of anger, actually. There's explosive anger. That's rage. It just blows up. It goes everywhere. Others are like, what in the world just happened? It just exploded. That's bad anger. There's three girls that ride our Sunday school bus, and their dad's in prison because he got mad and blew up and got angry and about beat a guy to death. That's their dad. And so now he's in jail. But he's done it one other time because I've known the guy for years, known of the guy for years. And that time, several years ago, he told me, I just snapped. Well, you can't just snap. Okay, you can justify it all you want to, but that's just not acceptable. And he grabbed a baseball bat, and he hit a guy upside the head, and the guy lost his hearing in his left ear, and about $15,000 later, that's where his anger put him. And then I mentioned there was crockpot anger. You can turn on a crockpot, and here's what most of you have. Boy, that anger boils, and it simmers, and it stews, and it goes on and on until it just kind of comes out. You don't deal with it. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, God told Paul under inspiration, you make sure you don't put your head on your pillow at night if you've got unresolved anger, because it's going to stew and it's going to simmer and it's going to cook all night long. And in the morning, eventually you'll fall asleep and you'll wake up and say, that's done with. No, it's not done with. Because people can't keep that down and suppress forever. eventually it's going to come out. Now, if you repress it, what you're doing is you're lying about it. And two angry people, if a husband is that way and a wife is that way, or people work together that are that way, or you have relationships that are that way, two angry people can't live together. It's not going to work. You can't keep, because you can't keep it down for long. Now, you might get mad. Everybody gets mad once in a while. Everybody knows that. But if you have anger in your heart, you're being poisoned daily. And I don't know that we'll get it today, but our next lesson is on the consequences of anger. You are going to be stunned, those of you that are going to take this class, how many consequences to anger they are. I'll say this because all of you won't be in there. Medical doctors put anger as physically as dangerous as smoking and high cholesterol. Is smoking good for you? No. They said anger is just as bad for you physically. They also say it's just equal to high cholesterol. Well, what's high cholesterol give you as a rule? Right, a heart attack. They say anger can give you a heart attack. And one doctor told, he had a patient who had a bad stroke. And the doctor told his patient, he goes, you know what caused your stroke? He said, what? He said, your anger. You're angry at everybody. So you'll see, those of you that are in there, maybe 20 different consequences of anger. And people can't live together, and you're being poisoned. Now, people get angry at everything. I have, because I pastor a church, and you may have had this in your own family, people get angry over settling estates. There was a lady, I remember years ago in our church, and she had not talked to her sister for years. So I wanted to know why. Because she came into my office. I asked her if she was bitter. She said, yes. She told me who you're bitter at. She said, her sister. Well, come to find out, she was bitter and angry at her sister, and it was all over an estate settlement. It's not worth it, I'm telling you. My goal is to spend all my money that I have after I quit pastoring the church so my kids will never have to worry about arguing over it. That's one of my goals in life, so they don't have to worry about it. Now, that's a good goal, too, by the way. I'd like to be around long enough to use it all up. Anyway, not that it's a lot, but, there's something there. But people get angry at everything. Some people don't even need much. You know why? They already have anger in there. And they already have anger in there, and so when something happens, they just poof. And it's like that crock pot. It's just simmering away. Simmering away. And then something happens, and boom, out it comes. So it's destructive. Now let me give you a fivefold test to see if we have angry. And you can answer yes or no, and you're going to have to decide this because you need to determine whether you're an angry person or not if you're going to deal with anger, what's inside you. First of all, is it anger directed toward a person? Do you have anger that someone can pop into your mind and say, I'm angry at that person? And you can identify who, and you can identify why, you can identify somebody who you're angry at. Now, your second question's got to be kind of similar to what I said a moment ago. Is it justifiable or is it non-justifiable? Yes, that's exactly right. Because you can have, that's just going to go on, and that's going to be that simmering, crockpot anger. And if you can't forgive, so you got to answer yes or no to that. Secondly, is it anger without a justifiable cause? Well, they put a scratch on my car one day. Well, I'll give you $10. You can go buy a can of spray paint and fix it in there. It's over, salt and dental with. It's a scratch. Now, see, my wife knows my opinion of what cars are. Okay, so if it's got a dent here and there, it's just character. That's the way I look at it. Okay, but is it really worth getting angry at somebody and holding a grudge at somebody over? It's a car. Now, if I pulled in here with a nice, 1965 Mustang convertible, I might park it farther away, so that didn't happen. But I suppose if it happened, I'd say, got to get it painted and move on. Is it justifiable or non-justifiable? Now, if I walk out in the parking lot later on and somebody's standing on top of you and they're pounding on you, that's justifiable anger. I'm going to come over there and try to knock them off you best I can. I hope some of you help me, by the way. But what is it about that person or that circumstance, because it might not be a person, it might be a circumstance, that has made you angry? We watched a movie here, God's Not Dead. And in that movie, it shows a guy who is angry at God. I've seen people angry at God. I know that was a movie, but I've seen it in real life. Why are you angry at God? Because he allowed this to happen. And if God is a God of love, then why does he allow this? Or why does he allow that? And why does he allow the other thing? Well, did you ever hear of the sinfulness of man and the fall of man? But people just don't want to take responsibility for that. But if it has no justifiable cause, you need to think about it. Thirdly, is it anger that seeks revenge? Uh-huh. You ever hear this phrase? I don't get angry. I get even. You've heard it. I get even. Do you know that's an ungodly phrase? I've probably said it to people before, especially when you're younger. It's people, you'll see them busting chops or whatever. I ain't going to get mad. I'm just going to get even. Do you have anger, and I don't know if you do or not, you got to settle this in your own heart, that seeks revenge? I will say this. No Christian should ever have this kind of anger. We're to do kind to all people all the time. Isn't that what it says in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is kind. So, you walk around and say, you wait till I see them. Boy, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Now I'm going to get the last word in, or I'm going to get the last move in. They're going to hear from me. No Christian ought to have that. You're right when you say, I don't get mad. You're not mad. You've crossed over the line. And now you have anger. There's a difference. That's vengeance. Fourthly, is it anger that you cherish? You say, what's that? It's when a person gets angry and they just hold on to it. One lady was talking to her pastor. It wasn't me. And she was being pleaded by her pastor to give up her anger. She walked over to the window, the pastor said, held up her hands and said, I can't give it up. I can't give it up. Is that any way for a Christian to live? If I mentioned the pastor's name, you'd know it. I think it was Dr. Stanley. I think it was something he said on the radio, actually. Now, she was captive to her anger. And if she gave it up, she'd have nothing else to think about. That's cherished anger. Now, we don't have a church the size of Dr. Stanley's, but I can tell you, I know of three people that have held on to cherished anger. My wife and I know one, and she's one bitter lady. Cherished anger. I mean, they just can't let it go. They don't even want to let it go. Because if they let it go, they're not going to have anything else in their life to think about because it's consumed them for so long. And when you talk to them, here's how you know. When you talk to them, eventually it'll come out in the conversation all the time. Now, there's a lady right now that's in my mind that I think she has anger. And I think she has anger toward her doctor because of so many of the medical problems that she's had. But you know, you know why you sign a consent form when you go to a doctor's office? There's always that element of human error that is a possibility. You know that. You're not perfect. You do things. Fifthly, now listen, John mentioned this. Is it anger that has an unforgiving spirit? You just can't forgive. That's dangerous. You can't settle it. You can't just lay it down. I want to tell you something. You can with God's help. He said, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can. Now, if you answer yes to any of these five, you probably have bad anger in your life. The kind that destroys. The kind that destroys relationships. The kind that destroys you. And let me say this, the kind that can destroy you physically. you're given into it. You're controlled by it. And it's a terrible thing. Now, you need to get it out. And you need to deal with it. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's Jesus. He's angry at the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they knew he was angry at them. You know, it wasn't a secret when he walked in and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." I mean, they knew he was mad. They knew he was mad when he walked into the temple and he overthrew the money changers. They knew it. You let it be known. And then he said something on the cross that shows us that Jesus always maintained a forgiving spirit. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He always maintained a forgiving spirit. You see, in righteous indignation, you can always maintain a forgiving spirit. You can. We can forgive. He didn't hold on to it. He didn't get on the cross and say, "I've been waiting for this day because when I die and when I'm going to see you at the white throne judgment one of these days." He didn't do that. By the way, the people that Jesus was most angry at in the Bible was always the religious people, religious lost people. Did you notice that? It was always that crowd, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. His most scathing remarks were always spoken to the religious crowd, the members of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those guys. Now, I'm going to start on this lesson, but I won't finish it today. These are the consequences of anger. And there's no possible way I'm going to finish this in one lesson anyway. Now, let me say this. Words and actions on our part, without any regard for the consequences, is an indication of four things. There are consequences to anger. Now, I said this. You're going to be surprised at how many. But what's an indication of? It's an indication of our immaturity. You say you ever get immature, Pastor? Yes. But it's an indication of our immaturity. Why? Mature Christians hate their sin. Anger shows immaturity. It shows our lack of wisdom. It shows our lack of consideration. It shows our lack of concern. Now, my message this morning pretty much will deal on this. Some of you have heard it already, some of you haven't. But it deals with a higher priority. Pleasing God is the highest priority. It may be because of something going on inside of us that's going on and on. People often don't consider the consequences of life. They just do what they want, when they want, if they want, how they want, and they think it's all going to turn out okay in the end. You know, sometimes it doesn't work that way, beloved. Doesn't always work that way. They don't consider the consequences. But all of our words and all of our actions have some kind of consequence. Sometimes it's a good consequence. But you think about something. What we are today is the result of where we were yesterday. We live with the consequences of yesterday. And where we'll be tomorrow will be the consequences of what we do today. How we act, how we spend our time, what's going on. Some things might happen this week that changed your plans. Now, it's true of individuals. It's true of nations. As a nation, we are where we are because of the consequences that we've made. They are the consequences of what we've done before. All aspects of our life have consequences. Our nation is in the horrific condition that it is in today because of the decisions that's been made in the past. I had a quote from Joseph Stalin I wanted to bring over, and I forgot it. I'll put it in the bulletin next week if I think of it. And communism. I guess you figured out communism is alive and well still. But Communism is an enemy of liberty and freedom, always has been. And we've allowed socialism to come into our country. We've had bad leaders in the past. We've had all these things happen, and we are reaping the consequences of those decisions today. All of actions in our life have consequences, all aspects. One area of our life that has consequences is our anger. There are consequences to anger and to the level of your anger that you and I exhibit. So it can be worse than most realize. If you're an angry person, you say, well, everybody gets angry, Pastor. That may be so. But it may be that you are angry and you've been angry a long time and you think that that's no one else's business but yours. I'm going to tell you something, that has effects. That'll affect you negatively. So I want us to see the devastating effects and consequences that come along with anger. Let me review just a little bit. Are you angry? I said, here's a fivefold test I gave you just a few moments ago. We defined anger, you guys weren't in there, but we defined anger as the strong feeling of intense displeasure, hostility, or indignation as a result of a real or imagined threat, insult, frustration, or injustice towards yourself or somebody else that's important to you. Anger is expressed in three ways. Rage, shotgun. Resentment, where it's subdued and repressed and it's boiling and it's like a crock pot. It simmers and it boils. That's the kind of anger most people are probably more familiar with. And then there's the third way it's expressed is indignation. That's what Jesus had when he cleansed the temple. That's what he had. Righteous indignation. Indignation is a form of anger that is motivated by something of injustice in your or somebody else's life that's important to you, and you see something going wrong, and when you see the cause, you think that's injustice, that's wrong, and you get angry about it, and that's fine. That's indignation. That kind of anger is okay. We want to fix things. We see some things in our nation that is wrong, and we'd like to fix them, and that causes us to get angry. But what are the consequences of anger in a person's life? So, we ask, are you angry? Maybe. You need to find out if you're angry so you can deal with it. As you look back in your life, have you ever been really hurt to where you still think about it? To where it preys on you? Now, I have to be honest, I can't think of anything in my life that's happened like that. I can think of things in my life that could have caused that. But I can't think of anything in my life I don't think I'm there. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't get mad once in a while, okay? Everybody gets mad. Some of you aren't there either. But some people might be there. Maybe somebody insulted you in front of others. Maybe somebody wronged you financially. I've been wronged financially, haven't I, Mark, on more than one occasion. This one guy needed a favor. I've had three or four people need financial favors, and so I've reached in my pocket and given them a loan out of my own pocket. I've never got paid back. I just assume when I give it to them, I'll never see this again. And it just happens that way. Maybe somebody wronged you financially, or maybe somebody insulted you, or maybe somebody hurt you. And sometimes it happens in marriages. What happens is a little anger there and a little anger here, and it comes out in rage sometimes, or it gets repressed because they're not forgiving, and it's always going to end bad. Because it's still stewing. In a marriage where rage is, and the husband or the wife, I see one occasion where the wife would express it in rage, usually men, a woman isn't to be a punching bag. She doesn't have to accept that stuff. That's not acceptable behavior. And so, but the guy's just rage, it just comes out. And you've heard about battered women and all that stuff. And then there was one lady that I remember one time, her husband called me up on the phone. And his wife was going to kill him. I mean, she was going to beat him up. She was throwing frying pans at him and hitting him in the head and all that. He went outside. I drove down there. Why, I'm not sure. But I drove down there. He was standing in the middle of the road. I'm not going back in that house with that woman, man. Are you crazy? I said, well, if you're not going to go back in your house and your wife is that out of control, maybe there's something going on medically, whether who knows. Maybe you better call the police. So they called the police, and they came, and it was a fiasco and a half. But just that was bizarre. But I will give her credit. She was a pretty tough woman. I'm going to tell you that right now. She had special training through the military, and the policeman put her. The police got mad at her. They put handcuffs on her, and she could pull her thumbs out of joint and take her handcuffs off. And she took them off and handed, here you go. I thought that probably was not a good idea. But she was talented. I'm going to give her that. But it's amazing how hurtful and, let's say this, devastating anger can be. It couldn't be. It should never be laughed about. And you may take courage. It may take you courage to deal with it because of those involved. So, I'm going to give some lists of anger. The first one is a list of consequences of anger to yourself. And if you're an angry person, hopefully this will motivate you to deal with it. Now, then I'll give you a list of the consequences that are in other people's life. And then I'll give you a list of consequences upon God when you and I are angry. And again, let's review here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. It said there, be angry and sin not. Not all anger is sin. You can be angry and not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You do not pillow your head mad or angry. And then he said this in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Now, if it's righteous indignation, it's not sin. He says, don't get into resentment or hostility. He said, you better watch that. Then he says, when you are angry, don't let the sun go down upon your anger. He says, do not pillow your head with anger in your heart. He said something else. Because of the consequences to that, you see where he says, neither give place to the devil? You keep anger and you harbor that in your heart, you are giving the devil an opportunity to work in your life. You see what he said? Verse 27. So he says, you better watch this. Otherwise, the devil's going to get an opportunity, and it won't be good. And then he said this. If you do, you'll give the devil an opportunity to get into your life, and I guess I don't even need to say this. It never ends well. But what does Satan do? When you are angry, the devil will show up, and he'll show you ways to express that anger, or he'll show you ways to justify that anger and to blame other people for your anger, whether it's real or imagined or whatever it is. He'll show you how you could, it's somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. It's amazing what people thought they heard somebody say when, in fact, that person never even said it. The thing that they thought somebody did, which never really happened. Or let me tell you this. Human nature is a weird thing, isn't it? But sometimes people get dwelling on something. So I'm going to see Joe Carroll later today. I'm not really going to, but pretend. And there's something I'm going to tell him that he said. I heard he said this about me. And buddy, when I see him this afternoon, I'm going to let him know how I think about this. Now, I'm stewing on this, and I'm stewing on this, and I'm stewing on this, and I'm getting myself agitated and all worked up. About 2 o'clock this afternoon, Joe and I bump into each other. I said, Joe, there's something I need to talk to you about. You said such and such and such and such. So-and-so told me. And Joe says, I never said that. That conversation never happened. I don't even know what you're talking about. Listen, I've had that happen on more than one occasion in my own life. I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, I don't have the best. My long-term memory is not even good at all. It's embarrassing sometimes how bad it can be, but I went to high school with a guy and lived next door him for years and years. I ran into him recently. I have no idea who this person was until finally his name came out. And I said, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, my just long-term memory just has never been there. Now, I've agitated and I've boiled and I've got upset and I've gone on and on and on and on and on. And I've thought about it. And, buddy, as soon as I got out of my car, I was all primed and ready. You come home from work and you say, boy, I've been thinking about this. My wife did this. And when I get home, I'm going to straighten her out. And you get home and you find out that it's all taken care of and she never. And you stewed about that all day for no reason whatsoever. But I will tell you one thing it points out to you. You got anger in your heart. You come home. By the way, you come home. You want your children, you know, you gave them a list of chores. First thing you walk in the door, hey, you do this, do this, do this, and this. You're dealing with anger. You didn't give any affection, no hi. Hey, honey, I walk in. My wife hasn't done this recently, but anyway, never. So I'm not picking on her for or ever. Honey, how you doing today? How was your day? Where'd it go? What's going on? Okay, that's. But if I come in the house and she says, hey, I told you to do this. Did you do it? Maybe I forgot. Maybe she's dealing with anger. Maybe I come home and I'm the same way, or she comes home and I'm dealing with anger, and I say things like that to her. Maybe that happens in your house. Those are anger things. People need to, you just get chewing on it. Or maybe you felt something. You get a little bit of something in your craw, and you start to chew on it, think about it. Pretty soon it can be bad. Or you heard somebody say something. If you're being angry, be sure it's righteous indignation and be sure it's not hostility toward anybody. And you need to deal with it before you go to sleep at night. And if you don't, the devil's going to take advantage of it and then you're going to be in trouble. And the consequences. So I'm going to stop right there because number one is right there. That's just a good place to stop. But we'll pick up and there'll be about 20 of them. And I want you to understand, if you got to be honest, painfully honest maybe, to see if you're an angry person. And if you're an angry person, you're going to have to deal with that anger, or it's going to have horrible, horrible consequences in your life and in the life of other people in your life. So, Father, anger is an awful strong emotion. And if not dealt with properly, it can hurt us. It can harm us. And Lord, it might be somebody here stewing on certain things. And maybe they've got resentment or hostility. Then they need to deal with it. Maybe somebody here, they're not going to admit it to us, but they know in their heart they deal with rage. It just blows up, man. That's where they are. They hurt people. They say things that are cruel and vicious and mean. Maybe they hurt them physically. That's no good. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see this, how dangerous this can be. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a quick story before I let you go. My dad used to come home. Now, my dad's mellowed in his old age, okay? He's a nice guy. But boy, when he was younger, I swear, the more I thought about this, the more I thought, this guy's had an anger problem. He'd get out of his car. He wouldn't come in the house to say hi or nothing. He'd walk right out back to see if we did everything that we were supposed to do. He wasn't interested in who we were. He was interested in what we did and what we could do. So let's say we stacked wood this way. You've heard me tell this story. I hate this. This used to tick me off, man. Anyway, he'd look at our wood pile, his wood pile. And if it wasn't perfectly straight, he'd knock it over. He didn't even come in the house to say hi to us, say hi to Mom, nobody. He'd walk right around the house, look at that wood pile. That's not straight. Whoom! You guys can restack that tomorrow. It's going to dry if it's straight or not, I felt like telling him, but I didn't want to get beat on, so I've decided I better not do that. The wood doesn't know it's crooked. The wood doesn't care if it's crooked. Who cares if it's crooked? And that, you say, well, the people on the road might see it. It was way out back because we made it harder possible in the winter to bring it into the house that way, so that's why we did it like that. All right, you're dismissed. We'll get ready for the next service. Anger, awful.